country, the word of God. Life to save in land, the tea.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Our message is found in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Yeah. Verse 16. It'll probably take you longer to find it than to read it. But recorded are these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And it simply says, rejoice evermore. You may be seated. Since I'm almost through, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, rejoice evermore. Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, rejoice evermore. And since you don't look behind you too much, look behind you and say, neighbor, rejoice evermore. And if you're just not too mean, stand up and say, neighbor, rejoice evermore. I'm tempted to say the doors of the church are open. But the Holy Ghost is saying something else. So I'm going to keep speaking as long as he speaks to me. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Now, when you look at this word rejoice, it literally means to return to the place of joy. You can't rejoice unless you've had some joy in the first place. So rejoice literally means to return to the place of joy. And this joy that we have comes from Jesus. Whenever we are troubled, burdened, bothered, or what have you, if we would ever return to Jesus, we will note that joy will bubble up on the inside of our spirit man, because it is the source from which our joy comes from. Now the word says not only rejoice, return back to that place of your original joy, but it says do it evermore. And this literally means that as a believer, there should be a spiritual attitude of rejoicing going on in the believer's life. In other words, we should have a lifestyle of rejoicing and not an occasion. Of rejoicing. We ought not just give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, but every day should be a day of thanksgiving. And when we learn to have a spiritual attitude of rejoicing and learning how to give thanks unto God, we will learn how to do that once we've come into that knowledge from that point on forevermore. Rejoice evermore. Gives us an intent of the writer for understanding our place in the Lord because of who we are and whose we are. To understand this rejoice evermore literally means that we take our rejoicing far beyond the flesh and enter into the faith and spirit realm. Yeah. Here's what you need to know. There are just some things in my flesh that don't cause me to rejoice. But there's nothing, listen at me well, that happens in my flesh that can stop me from rejoicing when I'm connected with my joy. And when I understand that no matter what happens to me, no matter what I go through, no matter what comes my way, the reality is that I've got a lifestyle because of my attitude of gratitude to say unto the Lord, you are worthy of all my praise, and my joy does not come from the things that happen to me, but my joy comes because of my relationship with Jesus. Then I have reason enough to joy and to rejoice every day of my life. But then when you see how he puts this together at the beginning, there are six other verses that follow. He starts off, and there are literally 17 verses from 16 to 22, where he literally informs and inspires us with instruction on how to rejoice forevermore. Listen at this. This information and inspiration is really for our instruction in understanding how do we do that. Yeah. Well, listen at the next verse. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. You see, if I keep praying and connect literally my spirit man and make it a continuous action of prayer in the subconscious, in the spirit realm, even when I'm not consciously praying, my spirit man is connected to my joy, which is a communication that goes on in the spirit realm. Then if I pray without ceasing, it assures that I'll continue to rejoice evermore. But what happens when things come up in trials and tribulations, situations and circumstances? Verse 18 follows, which says, in everything give thanks. Wait a minute. You mean in everything? Yes, in everything. But that don't make sense in the natural. Well, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual, not natural. Listen, your spirit realm is a greater realm than your natural realm or your fleshly realm. Your faith realm rides above your situation and circumstances. So when you understand, especially those of us who have read the end of the book, you discover that you win. Now you might be knocked down, and every now and then you might even be knocked out, but you're not counted out. The race isn't over. The fight isn't over. The battle isn't over. You still have an opportunity to come back and win this thing. And understanding this, you don't get excited only about the round, but you get excited about the fact that the whole race, the whole bout, the whole match declares you a winner. You might lose a round or two, But you don't hang your head down and start to whine and cry as if it's all over. You shake it off. Have you seen professional boxers when they've gotten hit hard, and blood might trickle down, and they take the glove and they look at their blood, and then they look at their opponent, and then they say, come on, bring it on, as to say, is that the best that you have? Because here's what they know, just because the opponent got a good shot in on them, don't mean that they have the victory. As Paul writes this letter to those who are at Thessalonica, he's saying something very important, not only to them, the believers of that day, but the believers of this day, that our walk before God should be one that's holy with a view toward heaven. Two, it ought to be humble with a view toward heathens in this world. And then thirdly, that we should be victorious overcomers in a wicked world. So therefore, what is he saying? In everything, give thanks. Why? There is a colon here. And grammatically, you know, if there is a colon, then the colon explains why the beginning of that verse was said. So Paul says, in everything give thanks. Colon says, why? Here's what follows. For it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if that don't help you, you need to go home. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, not because of everything, but in everything, give thanks. Why am I giving thanks in everything? Because I'm thankful that I'm coming out. I'm thankful that the story is not going to end like this. And here's what else I know. I know that verse 16 was talking about praise. Verse 17 was talking about prayer. But verse 18 is talking about providence. Everything that happens in my life, God's got something to do with it. When I realize it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me, then that means that what God has permitted, he's permitted for my benefit. He's customized my test. And listen to this. God is too wise of a God to let me tell him what to put on my test. No more than a teacher will allow a student to customize their test with only the answers that they know. I wish I had a help in the house. So when I realize that this is the will of God, whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever God has permitted, whatever God has allowed, when I come to the reality that God has got this thing fixed, then I understand that it is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning me. Well, God, why didn't you let that happen to somebody else? Because it's concerning me. Well, I'm looking at other brothers and sisters who don't go through what I'm going through because this is concerning me. And when I realize everything God is doing for me is concerning me, connected with me, then I understand that I should be giving him thanks in everything. Well, after I get through giving him thanks in everything, look at what it tells me. Verse 19, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. What does that mean? Don't put the spirit's fire out. There are so many believers who quench the Spirit of God, the fire of God. When God wants to do through the Spirit certain things, reveal certain things, use you in certain ways, give to you certain knowledge, revelations, powers, abilities to do so that you would flow and function, and you let carnality, you let flesh, you let sin, you let issues, you let all of these things put the fire of the Spirit out in your life, you miss out on the greatest teacher, the greatest leader, the greatest potentate, power, and help that Christ has sent for you to cause you to be victorious in this world. You cause the power or the fire of the living God to go out in your life by quenching the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit. The Holy Ghost knows everything. He knows more about you than you will ever know about yourself. He sees your future. He knows your direction. He knows your destiny. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your feelings and your emotions. He has the word from God for you. He knows what you're able to deal with. He knows what you can't handle. He has everything you have need of. Don't quench him. Then verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. Well, you know, if you quench the Spirit, certainly you despise prophesying. See, a lot of folk don't understand. God's still speaking through prophets. God's still using his preached word. He's still using his preacher. But there are some words he still has for prophets. There are just some things he has spoken to others to say to you directly, intimately, and personally. Don't despise prophesying. Listen, you might miss your greatest blessings by saying God is not using prophets today. That was in the Old Testament time. Don't believe God is still using prophets today. I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. God is still using prophets in this day and time. And there may be a word that God has given a prophet that you don't even know. But that word is so connected with your spirit, you will know that it has come from nobody but God. Despise not prophesyings. God's still speaking. There are just some things he don't want to tell you in the service. There are some things you've been praying about. God wants you to know he heard your prayers. God calls one to come in and prophesy and to say to you, listen, thus said the Lord. And when you hear that word, you know that's a word from the Lord. But if you think there ain't no prophets and prophetesses still speaking in today's day, then how can you believe that's God? And you let the enemy bring doubt in and cause you to miss out on the fact that God is showing you in the supernatural realms the things that will unfold in the natural realm. And then verse 21 says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Don't be a silly saint. There are some prophecies that aren't true. They come from false prophets. And one of the things you got to know is that's a good thing to turn you off, because you've had some false prophets prophesying. And you threw your hands up in the air. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, to a lie. And it didn't come to pass. And another one came and prophesied. But because you never proved it, you never tried it, you never tested it against the word of God to make sure that was his word confirmed by his word, you just took what somebody said and they took your money. And you were left with nothing. No prophecy and no money. And so you start despising prophesying, because you didn't prove. Look at what the word says, all things. Well, then what happens when you prove all things? In other words, you begin to measure everything by the word of God. It's real because it's the word. It's real because it aligns with the word. It's real because it holds up to the standard of the word. It's real because it aligns with the word. And so you prove all things. Now notice what it says, hold fast that which is good. So now after I prove what is good, I hold on to the good. But what do I do with the bad? Think I better let it go. Looks like another prophecy TKO. I've got to tell you, everybody that say the Lord said it ain't speaking for the Lord. And you can't be fooled going around here believing every lie and every word that people say that God told me to tell you. Lord, if I had had all of the things people said the Lord said was true. I've had people I have not even ever known, seen in my life come and prophesy to me, but I knew God's voice and it didn't sound like that. Can I just take a personal moment to just share the truth with you? When I was younger, I had more spiritual, holier than thou, supernatural, tongue talking, a Bible packing, holier than thou women come tell me that the Lord said that I was going to be their husband. And I said, it's mighty strange that the Lord told you and a whole lot more the same thing, unless he's bringing back polygamy. Yeah, help me. I know God didn't say it, because you ain't what I ordered. See, but when you don't know, Lord, anything, just send me a good this. I'm all right with that, Lord. Then Lord, send you a man that's hard to look at, but he a good man. You can't complain because you didn't write down on the list what you wanted. The Lady Elizabeth Taylor say it's easier to love a rich man as it is to love a poor man. Ain't nothing wrong with you say, I want a man to have something. I told you what Billy Preston said, nothing from nothing leaves. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Just because you got something that you don't want, don't get mad with me right now, because somebody prophesied to you and you thought it was the Lord. You got a whole lot of folk up here right now don't want to believe God and won't admit that they were wrong because they didn't believe what God truly said. And the reality is that you've got to prove those things to see whether it's of God, and hold fast to that which is good. Everything that's not good, let it go. Let it go. God ain't told everybody everything. Amen. That's right. And then verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it just looks evil, turn away. Don't investigate. Ask David when he was on the rooftop and Bathsheba was down in the pool below bathing. One look he saw, that was evil, because that was a man's wife he was looking upon, and he was married himself, and he knew that those looks were not righteous looks. They were lustful looks, so he should have abstained from the look. But he got another look, and that look wasn't good enough. He said, bring it to me. I need a closer examination. And y'all know the story. From that turned into adultery, from that turned into murder, because he didn't abstain from all appearance. There are just some things that just don't look right, what you're steady looking for. What is it going to profit you to keep looking at something that's not right? Is it going to change because you look at it? So what are you looking for?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
God bless you and greetings, and at all powerful blessing and healing name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is your friend and your apostle of prayer, Apostle James Brodnick's. You know, I have been praying and helping God's people for over 36 years now, and I have seen Jesus. I did say Jesus. I have seen him raise individuals up off of their bed of affliction. and heal them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And one thing I do know, that God is